John chapter 16, John chapter 17, and tonight we are dealing once again in the gospel on the series here that we're just sort of hitting the high parts and seeing some things that sometimes that we do not go over so much many times as we study different areas of the scripture. But tonight we're dealing with the Spirit and the Son, and how that those, if we are fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, how the Lord will help us, how that we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ as we are surrendering our lives unto the Lord. I believe this is lesson number 11 that we've had in John's Gospel. We've got three or four more in this particular series, and then we'll be doing something else. But tonight, in John chapter 16 and John chapter 17, again, we certainly cannot go through all these verses verse by verse. The time would not permit that. But we can quickly note some things and see some high points in these two chapters concerning the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look in John chapter 16, verse number 33. We'll use that sort of as our verse in chapter 16. And then we'll look in John chapter 17, verse 18 for that verse. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now look in John chapter 17, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world." Of course, this is the passage of the Scripture where Jesus is talking to the Father, how that the Father sent Him into this world, and now that He is sending us into that same world. And in that world there are trials, there are testings, there are tribulations, but thank the Lord there are good times and there are blessings. And I was talking to someone, I forget now, one day this week, I forget who it was even with, about the Christian school and the things that we have had down through the years, and there have been some trials. There's been some sometimes turmoil and sometimes difficulties that we had to face. But the good things so outweigh and so outnumber the difficulties. Now, the devil, he wants you to sort of key in on the hard things. He wants you to be always in the forefront of the difficulties. But I believe as a child of God, if we're going to have victory in the Lord, we need to put our faces and our minds toward the Lord's blessings of what He has done and the blessings that He has given us and the good things that God has provided for us. And so, certainly we are in this world of tribulation. But as we read in our verse tonight, verse 33 says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And if Jesus has overcome the world and we're in Christ, as the Bible teaches that we are, then we find that we have also overcome. We are overcomers already before anything ever takes place. So tonight, just want to deal a little bit about the Spirit and the Son and some of the relationship and how that we can have victory in the Lord, even in troubles that come and temptations and tribulations that arise that sometimes will detour us and sometimes it'll make us have a bump in the road. But we're glad that the Lord has already overcome those things. And sometimes those tribulations, sometimes those trials are nothing more than stepping stones that the Lord can use in our life, that we can be used to help someone else in a similar situation. Because if we have not been there, certainly we cannot tell someone how to handle that problem. It's always an amazing thing to me that people that have no children try to tell you how to raise children. That's sort of beside the way that ought to be done. And those folks have an idea that sometimes is not according to the Scripture. And then there are folks that can tell you certain things that they've never experienced. I know in Bible college sometimes we had teachers that would tell you how to go build a church, and they'd never built a church. They'd never pastored a church. And that's hard to do. It's hard to get across because nothing is better than experience and the things that we have. And in the midst of troubles and trials and tribulations that come, these can be stepping stones for us to greater heights of accomplishment when we are surrendered to the Lord to help others in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to verse number 1 of John chapter 16, and we'll just quickly notice some things here on these verses because I do want to get to the video tonight and not keep you too long. But we'll notice here in John chapter 16, verse number 1, it gives us the attitude of Christians. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." The Lord is telling His disciples those things that have just come and the things that we've just read in chapter 15 as we studied a couple of weeks ago, how that the Father's loved us, how we have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that the Comforter is coming, which is the Spirit of truth. And then Jesus says, "These things I've spoken unto you that you should not be offended," because there is an offense coming. There is problems on the way. There is a difficulty. These disciples were going to face things that they had never faced, and the Lord is trying to warn them and trying to prepare them for the persecution that is coming. The Lord said if they persecuted Him, then certainly they would persecute the believers. He says in verse 19 of chapter 15, "If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And so He is, the Lord is preparing His disciples for the persecution that is just around the corner. And He says, don't be offended at those things that take place. He says, "I've written these things," or "I've spoken these things to you, that you should not be offended." Notice in verse number 2 that the action here of the enemy, or what they're going to do, it says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Can anybody think of a person that had that attitude? The Apostle Paul. He felt as though he was doing God a service. He admits and he tells in his testimony that he was zealous for God. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And what he was doing, he felt he was doing as a service to God. And the Lord here is telling His disciples not to be offended, because there are going to be some that will come and take you out of the synagogues, out of the Jewish places of worship, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to think they're doing God a service. And so He just tells us here, there's the action of the enemy, and the attitude of you and I should be one of not being offended. But the Lord gives us the answer here in verse number 20. He says in verse 20 of John chapter 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Now here's the prophecy that the Lord is giving to His disciples of persecution that's just around the corner. It's not going to be long now. Jesus is going to be crucified. Just in these next few chapters, we'll see the Lord crowned with a crown of thorns and placed upon a cross. And the disciples are in such turmoil that they really do not know which way to go. And the Lord is trying to prepare them that there's a time coming when persecution will arise. He said, but don't be offended at that, or don't be overcome with that, because I have already taken care of it and have overcome the world. And He says here, there's a time coming when you're going to be weeping and lamenting, but the world's going to be rejoicing. Well, the good part of it is that the time is also coming that your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I'll tell you what, there's a day coming for you and I that the sorrows that we suffer, and I dare say we suffer very little in comparison to what many Christians around the world are suffering even tonight. And certainly we have no comparison to what the child of God has suffered down through the ages. And there's a time coming when the sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ is taking care of all the needs of this world. And He sets Himself up as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm glad the Lord has left us the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Son, and He warns us of these problems. And then He says there's a work of the Holy Spirit that will give us some things that will help us in our personal Christian life. He says in verse number 6, "Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." He said, now there's sorrow that is here. But now notice in verse number 7, He says, "Nevertheless." Even though you're sorrowful, there's something on the other side also. He said, I'll tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He tells us here that there is a Comforter that is on the way. I'm glad tonight that the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. And when struggles come, and when tears come to our eyes, and sorrow to our heart, I'm glad there is that Holy Spirit of comfort that lives within us that brings us to a place of joy and a place of rejoicing because of what Christ is to us. He says, now I must go away. Now the Lord is again still preparing His disciples for the moment that He's going to die. And He knew they were not going to handle that properly, and they were going to have a problem because they have given all and they have followed Him in everything. And Jesus is going to die. He's going to go back to heaven. And He says, it is expedient for you, it's good for you that I go away. He said, because when I go, I'll send you another Comforter. And that is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And other places He is called the Spirit of Truth. And when He will come, He will reprove the world of sin. And the Holy Spirit reproves us and rebukes the world of sin. He reveals the Scriptures to us. Verse number 12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. The Lord says, there's a lot of things I need to tell you, but you can't, we would say you just can't handle it. You can't bear that. You're not at the place where you can understand and can cope with the things. But He says, the Spirit of Truth will guide you. The Holy Spirit, He will not speak of Himself, but you'll find that He will speak of the things to come, and He will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 14, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take Mine, and shall show it unto you. There was a work of the Holy Spirit that was going to continue on in the disciples, that the Lord, even though He wasn't here, the work would continue on and would go on for the glory of God and for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? The work of God is still going on. It's still progressing. It's still working. And that Holy Spirit that came to those disciples in the upper room there in the book of Acts, and as they were given their commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, power was given unto them to do marvelous things and miraculous things, and that was all through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, it's expedient, it's needful that I go, that He might come, because He is the Spirit of Truth, and there are things that I need to tell you and I want to tell you, but you can't understand them right now because they haven't gone on the other side of Calvary yet. You see, they're coming up to Calvary, and there's some things on the other side of Calvary that the Holy Spirit was going to have to teach them. And Jesus said, you can't bear what I'm going to tell you. You can't understand it. You cannot comprehend it. But when I go, the Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth will come, and He will reveal Me, and He will glorify Me, and everything that I have from the Father shall be given unto you. So we have here the prophecy of persecution, and then we have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad tonight the Holy Spirit is not lacking in power. He's the God, part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We call them the first, second, third part of the Trinity. And if you can explain the Trinity, please write it down for me so I can understand it. I don't understand it. I just know there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're co-equal. They're co-existence. One's just as much God as the other. And we say first, second, third, and that really sort of puts in our mind that the Holy Spirit's a little bit under God, but He's not. He's God. And so we have God living in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. and that power to reprove the world and to reveal the Scripture, and He refines us, He helps us. You know, if you refine something, you take out all the dross and you take out all the impurities. If you refine gold, and the more you put the fire to it, the more it's refined, the more pure it becomes. And the child of God is called the gold of the Lord, and we are like fine gold. We have been refined of the Lord by the impurities that have been removed by the work of problems and trials that come to us. And thank God the Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's there to give us direction. He's there to give us help. And more than anything else, He's there to comfort us. I believe the Lord knew that human beings needed comfort more maybe than anything else. We are many times our own worst enemy. We get down on ourselves. We get down on everything. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit has to tap us and touch our heart and make us realize what we do have in Christ and the good things that the Lord has given to us. And so may the Lord bless us tonight to realize that, yes, even though persecutions may come, we are overcomers because we're in Christ. We may suffer. We may have anguish. We may have sorrow. We may have pain. We may be a martyr. There are many around this world that have been martyrs and for the Lord. And if that be the route that God chooses for different ones and even for us, then so be it, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit to comfort us, knowing that we're doing the right thing and standing for truth and for righteousness. So I pray tonight that it would help us to understand that there is a power in that Holy Spirit. Now, it's not this power that the world talks about, and even many times the religious world talks about. But I'm talking about the real power of the Holy Spirit to refine us and to teach us, because He is the Spirit of truth. And He says, howbeit, in verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Somebody says, well, now the Holy Spirit has led me into doing this, and it's totally opposite of the Word of God. You can rest assured that He needs to try the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not guide somebody to do something that is in opposition to His Word. We may divide our house, and a divided house will fall, and we as people may falter, and we may, like the waves roaring, go back and forth, but you rest assured the Godhead does not do that. And so we have the revealed Word of God to us, and the Holy Spirit will guide us into what? Truth. And somebody that says, well, now the Holy Spirit led me and told me to do something, it didn't work, and it's totally wrong, you can rest assured it wasn't the Holy Spirit. We're to be discerners of the spirits. We're to be observers and see. Paul says, try the spirits and see if they be of God. Paul says there's many spirits that have gone out into this world. We must discern them. And the only way you can discern them is by this book. This is final authority. This is truth. And this will reveal to us what is right and what is wrong, what is true, what is false, what is sin, what is not sin. It's not what somebody thinks. It's not what some system has given to us down through the centuries. It's what thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. And so we need to have settled in our heart the Word of God, and have settled in our heart that it's final. Whatever it tells us, that's the way it is. God doesn't, there's no negotiating with His Word. Who are you going to negotiate with? Who's going to plead your case? Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. Well, you can rest assured He's not going to plead your case on wrong grounds. He's going to do it according to His Word. The Scripture tells us in the book of Romans that we are judged according to truth and according to His Word. And then we're judged according to our works. And so all those things enter in to the work of the Holy Spirit as He reproves the world of sin. The only reason you got saved is because one day the Spirit of God reproved you. He rebuked you. He let you know you're a sinner. He let you understand that you're lost without God. He revealed to you. He glorified, and as Jesus said here, He shall glorify Me, and He revealed Jesus Christ unto you. There are many, many churches across our country that are literally falling apart. And some of us were talking about that not too long ago, and I personally believe that the reason that things are happening in church circles is because we have been given a faulty regeneration or a faulty plan of salvation. We just sign a card or we feel good or we do something. That's not salvation. And we've done that and we've had that given to our churches year after year after year. Now a generation has gone by and those that's in control, those that are ahead of things, those that are pastors and deacons, there's a good possibility some of them do not even know the Lord. No wonder we're in a mess. But the Scripture says here, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. Now there's a promise here. We have the prophecy, we have the power. Now in John chapter 16, verse 23, we have a promise that God will answer our prayer. I'm so glad tonight that God answers prayer. Prayer is that element that He gives to us, that we are to direct ourselves, our thoughts unto Him, and He can answer those things. John chapter 16, verse 23 says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." The Lord said, "I give to you illustrations or proverbs." And He gave them parables. A parable was a story concerning earthly things that was taking place, but implied heavenly things. And the Lord says, "I've given you those things in parables. Now I'm going to give them to you plainly." And He said, you ask. Our prayer is to be directed to the Father. He says in verse number 3, "Whatsoever you should ask the Father." I'm glad I have a heavenly Father. I'm glad I have one that has authority. We have earthly fathers. We look up to them. We speak to them. We ask advice of them, or at least we should. As long as my dad was living, I still always asked him what he thought about things. And that was that authority figure that I looked to him for some understanding. Well, I have a greater Father. His name's Jesus. His name's God. And we are to look to Him, and He guides us, and He directs us. And so the Scripture says that He promises us that if we will direct our prayer to the Father, and notice the next part of that verse, if you ask, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. So we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. That's when we pray, we always end our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, amen. We're praying to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ in the name of the Son of God. I have heard people, and I do not ridicule, I try not to do it because I think the avenue here is there's a right way and the procession is right. We pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell us that we're to pray to the Holy Spirit. He helps us. He directs us. He guides us. But we direct our prayer to the Father. We direct our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, "I'll answer you." He says, "Your prayer will be full joy." Verse 24, He says, "You ask nothing in my name, ask you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Isn't it a wonderful thing when the Lord answers your prayer? I mean, just some little something that nobody knows about and something that somebody would think it'd be foolish for you to pray about. But it's something you feel like that you need to ask God His advice or His help, and you pray to, and God answers you. Oh, it's not written in the clouds, and He doesn't send you a letter, but the answer's on the way. The answer's there. And we know it when we see the culmination, or we see how things work together, and we realize that the Lord has taken time to hear my prayer, and then He answers it, and it makes us joyful in the Lord to know that we mean something, that we're not just a number. We're not like a Social Security number. We're a person in the sight of God. We're not just a number out here on a form. We are a person, and God knows us. And when we pray to Him, He sees fit to answer our prayer according to His will. then what a joy it is. Our joy is full when we find our prayers answered. Thank God tonight there is the work of the Holy Spirit. There is the work of the Son. There is the work of the Father. And we are to pray that intercessory prayer. Now in John chapter 17, I really almost just left this for another session by itself. And we may go back and get it a little bit later. But in John chapter 17 is one of the most important chapters of the book of John. We have verses of Scripture that we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that is primarily usually called the Lord's Prayer. But John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And this is the Lord speaking unto the Father. And he prays to his God and to his Father. Notice the words here. Jesus has spoke to his disciples. He has spoken of himself. He has spoken of the Holy Spirit. But when you come to verse 33, says, I've overcome the world, the first verse of chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. All of a sudden, his focus goes off of his disciples. It goes off of the world around him. And he focuses his thoughts and his eyes and his mind upon heaven. And this is commonly called the prayer of intercession, which really is the Lord's Prayer. Notice some things that he tells us here in these verses. And we'll try to go through this real quick. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified, that may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me and with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep though thy own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, which is the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, thou shalt keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. We'll stop there in verse number 20. Here is this wonderful, touching, intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples. He makes no, there is no ex, misunderstanding as to those that have come to Him, have been given to Him by the Father. He says, every one of them you gave to me except the son of perdition, which of course was Judas. And He said, all these things are thine that you have given me, and I've tried to reveal them, those things to them. He tells us here, He said, I pray for them, I don't pray for the world. Now, verse number 20, you can put your name out there beside that. I think it's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. And we are here tonight because someone told us the word of God. And they are where they were because somebody told them the word of God. And you can trace it all the way back unto the disciples, the word of God. We have salvation tonight because these disciples, whom Jesus chose out of the world and the Father gave him, and all those things involved in that, they were faithful to the Lord. And when Jesus died, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they did that, some under stress and duress, some was under persecution, some were scattered. They maybe didn't go as they should have, and so persecution had to come. And as the disciples and as the Christians were scattered everywhere they went telling somebody about Jesus Christ. And one day the Apostle Paul, or Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, he saw and he held the coats of those that would stone Stephen to death. Paul later, in his own personal testimony, he said, I consented unto his death, and I was there, and I was present, and Stephen died as a martyr. And that never got away from Paul, and on the road to Damascus, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know the story, how that Saul became a Christian. You know the story of not only did he become a Christian, but he became an apostle to the Gentiles. And he went all over what we know today as Asia Minor and even into Europe and preached the gospel. Churches were established. People were brought into the family of God, all because somebody was faithful in preaching the word of God. And here Jesus prays for all them that follow. I'm glad he prayed for the disciples, and it's a wonderful prayer. I love to read it. But I'm sure glad he added verse number 20. I'm sure glad it's in here where he says, I pray not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And right there, you can put your name if you say. And there that day, as Jesus prayed his Lord's Prayer, he prayed for us. What a tremendous thought that is. That Jesus, and by the way, Jesus knew our name when He prayed for us too. There wasn't any guesswork in it. For those things had been settled long, long ago. Thank God one day I heard the gospel and got saved. And Jesus prayed, not just for the disciples, but for all those that would follow after them. He says here in verse 21, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee. That they also be one in us, and that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. The reason we do what we do tonight is that the world might believe upon Him. May God bless us and help us as we serve Him, as we go to the far distant corners of the world through our missionaries and through preaching and all the efforts that are made. Jesus prayed for us and prayed for our success, and He promised that He would answer our prayers. What a wonderful, wonderful story it is about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight that we have a great heritage and the wonderful things that He has for us. Brother Brandon, why don't you come just lead us in a song? Give me time to get this ready, and it'll take about 20 minutes to do.